I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. This is the word of the Lord.
And the second one is going to be read by Richard.
Is from the Gospel of John, and it's chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and you may find it in your Bibles on page 1083. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do not do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
transmit everything that you have laid on my heart this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that all eyes will be turned only towards Jesus. I pray, Living Lord, that this will be a time of renewed communion with you, a time of fresh revelation. Come, Holy Spirit, open your living word to us. Open our hearts to receive your living word and to live by it. And to God be all the glory. Amen. So this morning we are concluding our series answering the question, who are you, Lord? And we have the answer in this chapter 15 of John, I am the true vine. But it's not only about Jesus. We see who also is God. God the Father, we learn that he is the gardener. And we're going to learn that we ourselves, we Christians, are branches. In verse 5, disciples in verse 8, and friends in verse 14. From the reading that we heard from Isaiah, we learned that the people of Israel had been planted as a vineyard, but they were a sinful people, disobedient, unfruitful. But today we are talking about the true vine, metaphorically Jesus. The true vine is not not the people of Israel. The true vine is not Judaism. It's not a religion. The true vine is Jesus. And we're not talking about a religion. We are talking about a relationship. About relationships with Jesus, with God, and with one another. Relationships built on love, on intimacy, all for the glory of the Father. So what is the relationship between the vine and the branch? Complete dependence. The branch relies on the vine, not just to be able to bear fruit. The branch relies on the vine for life itself. For many years, on many occasions, I trembled every time I read verse 2. If you have your Bibles open, you can see, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. So how can we be a branch attached to the vine and not bear fruit? If you're a gardener, you know that sometimes a small branch can be bent and the sap doesn't get right through to the end. Sometimes our relationship with the Lord has been bent. We've lived through some difficult situation, or we've lived in fear, we've done something sinful, and something hinders that flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we are weak and we are unfruitful. And if we think of this small, weak branch down on the floor, there in the dirt, in the dust, or maybe trodden down in the mud, the small shoot may be too young or too weak to bear fruit. What would I do in that situation? What can the Lord do with me in that situation? What would he want to do with me? When I pictured myself as a weak branch that wasn't bearing any fruit, I heard the devil so many times come to me and say, "You are useless. You are worthless. You are hopeless." Has anyone else heard that same phrase? Probably. The devil wants to discourage every one of us. And here it says, black on white, the Lord cuts off every branch, every single branch that doesn't bear fruit. Now, this is where we need to look in the Greek. The Greek verb which is used here, there are four different definitions for this verb iro in the lexicon. And the fourth one, in the order of importance that is listed, is to cut off. The first one is not to cut off, but to lift up. For example, when we read in John 11 that Jesus lifts his eyes to heaven, it is this word. And in Luke 17, the people lifted their voices. This weak branch remains an integral part of the vine, and it is not cut off. It is lifted up, attached to a support, attached more firmly to the vine where it is already receiving a little sap. It's not left on the ground where it can put down secondary roots into the ground and not be attached to the vine. It remains part of the vine. It receives the same sap, supported. Instead of being cut off and discarded, lifted up and nurtured, given special care, special treatment. Oh, how encouraging that is for us, the ones who thought we were worthless, useless, hopeless. Special treatment, special care, because the Lord loves us and the Lord knows our potential and the Lord knows his plans for us. And he watches over us with a watchful eye to care for us. But not everything is easy. In the next verse, we learn again, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that he will be even more fruitful. Pruning is not a nice job if you're on the receiving end of it. And it's not only dead branches that the gardener cuts off. He might cut off flowers. He might cut off seemingly good things to make more space for the sap to come through to bear more fruit. And we need to look in the Greek again at this verb to prune. There's only one criteria for pruning, and that's to produce fruit. It's not to punish us. If the Lord takes things out of our lives, it's not to punish. It's to enable us to be more fruitful. Maybe we have to renounce at some things. Maybe we need more discipline. Maybe we need to leave sinful habits. Maybe we have to let go of some fruitful ministry that we had in the past, because the Lord wants to prepare this branch for something even more fruitful. But the verb that is translated here as pruning, the first translation that we could use or should use is to cleanse. And if we look at the verse that comes after, you are already pruned or you are already cleansed because of the word I have spoken to you. I'm told that I mustn't move about, but I'm feeling more and more encouraged as I'm going through this text. I hope that you are as well. We have been lifted up and we have been cleansed. We have been cleansed, washed, made pure, not chopped off, but lifted up, not pruned, but cleansed and purified. And how has this come about? by his word spoken to us. Remain in me, verse 4. Abide in me. This key word in the text, remain or abide, is often used to describe the intimacy and the permanency of marriage. Abide, to be at home in. And here we think about the being at home in the indwelling presence of God. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. We have to make a decision. We have to make a choice to remain in the Lord. We have to make a decision to seek more and more intimacy with him, to seek to be determined to spend more and more time in his presence, to take time to be aware of his presence. If there are a lot of ifs in this passage, If you remain in me, I will remain in you. And if you remain in me, you will be fruitful. You can't bear fruit by yourself. You need sap. You need life from the vine. And we need the Holy Spirit flowing through our veins. We can be alive on the vine, but to bear fruit, it has to come from the Holy Spirit flowing through us. No, we can't bear fruit through our own efforts. We can't bear fruit even by coming to church regularly and going through the motions of Christianity. We can only bear fruit by remaining in him and knowing and living the indwelling of his Spirit, the empowering of his Spirit. Fruit, our fruit comes to maturity only through his grace and only through his strength. It comes not by striving, not by struggling, but by remaining, abiding in him, and even resting in his presence. He does all the work. This is getting better and better, isn't it? All he asks of us is that we remain in him and let his abundant life flow through us to produce his fruits. There's a tense that is used three times in this text, which is sort of a progressive tense, like the imperfect, something that keeps going on. And it means keep on going, keep on bearing fruit, keep on abiding. It's something permanent. We're not just talking here about a triple dose of magic fertilizer that gives instant results and then nothing more after a flash of in the pan of fruitfulness. No, we're talking here about staying power, about remaining. It is only abiding in him that assures the branches and assures us of a permanent divine vitality. And the only way to be continually pruned or continually cleansed and to bear much fruit is a continual spiritual connection with the vine. There's a progression in this text. The beginning of verse 2, no fruit. At the end of verse 2, more fruit. And in verse 5, for those who remain, much fruit. But what fruit? Let's quickly look at several verses in the New Testament that talk about fruits. In Romans chapter 1, fruit is winning souls. In Romans 6, the fruit that the Lord gives us is holiness. In Romans 15, the fruit that he talks about is about financial giving, material help. In Colossians, the fruit is good works, practical help. In Hebrews, the fruit is a praise, the fruit of our lips. And Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Not a little, but nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, if someone chooses not to abide in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. And here the verb that is translated as picked up is not the one that means lifted up, but it is gathered together. And they are thrown. When you throw something, it goes far away. Where are they thrown? Into the fire. Because a vine, if it doesn't produce fruit, it is completely worthless. The wood can't be used for building anything, making anything. It is only good for burning. See the difference between the weak young branch not yet bearing fruit? He is lifted up. And the branch that is no longer abiding, is no longer attached to the vine, cast out, thrown away, and burnt. Let's move on to another if in verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words, you remember we were cleansed by the word. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. People keep telling me to buy a lottery ticket and wish to win. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. What words are we talking about? We're talking about life-giving words dwelling in us, not printed words, not black and white words, even if they are printed on gold-edged paper in a leather-bound Bible. We are talking about life-giving words written on our hearts. Ask what you wish and it will be given to you. I'm going to make my shopping list. If we go to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives. But if we are dwelling in his word, we will know how to pray, and we will know what to ask for, because our will be aligned to the Father's will. We will pray as the Father's heart would pray. Knowing his word, listening to the Spirit will guide all our prayers. And we will ask what the Lord wants us to ask, and our prayers will be answered. There's a verse in the Psalms that I really love, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When I abide in him, when I am constantly dwelling in his word, the Lord puts his desires in my heart, and his desires become my desires. And on my shopping list, there are only things that the Lord wants. And if I ask as the Lord wants me to ask, I will receive. You will receive. If you abide in his word. Verse 8. And all this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Showing yourselves. This isn't about showing off. By your fruits you shall know them, Jesus says in Matthew 7. From a vine, we look for grapes. From a Christian, we look for a Christ-like life, only made possible by grace if we choose to remain in him. Fruit is not what we do. Our fruit is showing the life of Jesus in us, his character reproduced in us and shared in love. And the more fruit there is, the more glory there is for the Father. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That communion between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Communion. Love. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. What have we got to do? It's written down. Remain in my love. Rejoice at every moment that we are in his love. And verse 10, another if. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And what does Jesus command us to do? To love one another. When we love one another, it is the proof that we are remaining in him. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, says Jesus, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Abide in me. Abide in my word, abide in my love, and you will receive my joy, constant joy. The same joy that I, Jesus, feel in loving the Father and being obedient to him. The words that Jesus is speaking to us this morning, he said them just a few days before his crucifixion. And he knew what was awaiting for him. But he's speaking about joy. He's speaking about joy in obedience. He's speaking about joy in love. His joy, even contemplating the crucifixion, his joy was his union, the communion with the Father, and remaining in the presence of the Father. And Jesus desires that his disciples, Jesus desires that us have that same joy that comes from the constant sense, the constant knowledge of the presence of God in our lives. Remain in me. If you are apart from me, if you choose not to remain in me, the result will be withering and death. Abide in me, remain in my love, stay in my word. The result, answered prayer, bearing much fruit, our Father glorified, recognized as his disciples, and complete joy. My command is this, verse 12, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus loved us as the Father loved us, and now he is asking us to love as he loves us. It is only possible through grace. And we have to make a decision to stay connected to the vine, as we have to often make a decision to love. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus did just that. And for us, he's not asking us to go to the cross, but he's just asking us to lay down our lives in service for others. Not because it's a legal obligation, but because his love is in us, and he gives us the grace to want to serve others. You are my friends. Wow. You are my friends. Isn't that good news? Friends of Jesus. But there's another if. You are my friends if you do what I command. You can't be my friend if you don't love. Because if you really are my friend, if you are abiding in me, it is my love, Jesus' love, that will flow through you. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his servant's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, everything, I have made known to you. Everything. I am in on God's secrets. You who are abiding in him are in on God's secrets. Is anyone awake here? You did not choose me. He's right, as far as I'm concerned. He chose me and he ran after me until he caught me. You did not choose me. But I chose you. He chose me, and I'm speaking about all those who love him. I chose you because I love you. I chose you because I chose to die for you. I chose you because I have a ministry for you. I chose you and appointed you. I chose you and established you. I chose you and gave you authority. We are chosen, we are called, we are ordained. Now you've seen me in my black pastoral robes, you've seen me with my clergy collar. I am an ordained minister. But we are all ordained ministers. It's not about having a recognized ministry in an institution, in a church. It's about doing the work of the Father. We have all received a commission. We have all been ordained. And when we are ordained, that means that we have the authority to walk in what the Lord has called us to do. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you wish and it will be given to you. I could never believe that one day I would be a pastor. But a little thought came into my mind. It came from the Lord. And I realized that he had chosen me for that. He also chose the way that it was to happen. Sometimes we don't always see eye to eye. After about 10 years in ministry, the Lord was taking me along another path. And I started dreaming about having a ministry like Catherine Coleman. I don't know if you know her. She was an American evangelist. And she used to come onto the stage in a packed auditorium, and the organ would be playing Just a Touch from Jesus. And she'd be there in a diaphanous white dress and, you know, blessing everyone. It was marvelous. And I thought, oh, this is for me. A man I didn't know had a prophetic word for me, and he said, oh, I can see your life. The sun is blazing down, you're in the middle of the desert, and you're breaking up big boulders. Yes, Lord. You're making a road. I thought, making a road, that's a man's job. My nail varnish is going to get cracked. My nails will get broken. And in that hot sun, I know what's going to happen. My mascara is going to drip down my face. That's not for me. The Lord said, I have chosen you to make a road. And the Lord chose me to plant a church. It wasn't what I had chosen. It is what he had chosen, and he gave me not only the authority and the strength and the love, but also the joy to walk in what he had commanded for me. So, what are you waiting for? Spend time in the Lord. Let him tell you more precisely what he has chosen you for. What your ordained ministry is. Every one of us has an ordained ministry where we can show the fruits of love in our lives. But even if we have a marvelous ministry like Catherine Coleman, like Benny Hinn, like Billy Graham, if we don't have love, we'll be like the Apostle Paul says, we'll be just like a jangling cymbal, worthless. But if we remain in the vine, if we abide in him, if we stay in his love, we will, with his help, keep the greatest commandments, to love one another. To him be all the glory. And I love you.